We welcome Jenny Wilson. Ms. Wilson is the Democratic candidate for the U.S. Senate in the great state of Utah. She is not only from Utah, she has five generations, or is the fifth generation of a long line of Jennies, if you will, in her family in that great state. She's serving her second six-year term on the Salt Lake City Council, so she knows the local issues, and I'm sure she wants to bring it to a state level, being one of the two senatorial representatives, hopefully, in that state come November. In 2005, she became the first woman elected to the council, where she has led numerous policy initiatives, including ethics reform, government efficiency, criminal justice reform, and open space preservation. She was a co-founder of the Jordan River Commission. Now, she is running up against a name you know, Mitt Romney. And she's running up against him to fill the Senate seat that's being vacated by Senator Orrin Hatch. As I had mentioned, he's retiring. More than a pleasure to have Democratic candidate for the United Senate, in the state of Utah, Jenny Wilson. Ms. Wilson, thank you for joining us. Councilwoman Wilson, thank you for joining us and welcome.
Well, thank you. I'm excited to be with you today.
And we're excited to have you with us. First of all, why jump from a term, 6 years, on the Salt Lake City Council to the Senate? Much harder to campaign, much more money to be raised, a lot more stress on you, you know, your family. First of all, why do it? What was it in your heart, or what kind of burning passion or desire led you to make that decision?
Well, I grew up in politics, and I had the opportunity to serve in Washington, D.C., and ultimately served as a chief of staff for a Utah congressman back in the 90s. But I didn't wake up one day and say, hey, I want to run against a two-time presidential candidate who also happens to be my former boss from the Olympics. But I did wake up one day and say, I love Utah. I think we need a different voice. I think we need someone to stand up for Utah's future and to fight for Utah families. And I don't think we're getting that from this all-Republican delegation.
I'm in California, and Mr. Romney has a home in California, in San Diego, where he has an elevator for one of his cars. My next-door neighbors have just moved to Utah recently. I'm not kidding. My next-door neighbors just retired to Utah because they're Mormon. They have about 10 or 12 kids, and a number of them live there, and their grandchildren. The gentleman had a heart attack. He decided it was time to retire. He has a lot of money. And they love Mr. Romney. They did a fundraiser for him when he was running for president, and I know a lot more about Mr. Romney because of my neighbors, you might say, and in addition, because of what I do for a living. Can you tell us, from an insider in Utah's view of Mitt Romney, because I'm sure Ms. Wilson, the chat was, Orrin Hatch is out, and all of a sudden it's like, where's Mitt Romney going to hang his hat next? I'm from Massachusetts, and I was always like, and I always thought he sold the people of Massachusetts a bill of goods. He claimed to, at that time, to get, the governorship, and he did, to be pro-choice. Now he's pro-life, because wherever it seems to be convenient. I'm wondering, how is he viewed in Utah, because he is Mormon, because of his father and his family, but this is a guy that seems to hang his hat in different places, homes in Massachusetts, New Hampshire, California, as well as Utah, and who knows where else?
Well, it's an interesting question, because what I hear from people throughout the state, and it doesn't matter if I'm talking to a quote-unquote opinion leader in the heart of Salt Lake City or someone on a doorstep in a rural county, I think people are somewhat skeptical of his decision to now seek the U.S. Senate at this point in his career, given he raised his family in Massachusetts. He's a two-time presidential candidate who didn't make it to the presidency. So what I hear is people kind of sharing what you've shared. First of all, saying there isn't consistency from Romney on issues. And also, he's not a Utahn. Why is he doing this? So that's what I hear. Those are the questions I have. I actually know him. I like him. I've met members of his family, and they're great. But the question that Utahns should ask, and I think many are asking, is this the right time for Romney? Is this the right seat? And I would say no to both of those points. And I think I'm the perfect contrast to Romney. I'm from here. I raised my kids here. My family and I, live a pretty typical life for a Utah family. We are taking care of two kids. I just had to ask him a month ago, you know, you deserve a vacation, kids. Where are we going? And we had the budget for that, a plan for that. So it's a very different opportunity for people as they look at my candidacy to say, yeah, this is a woman who's already served the state. She's in her 10th year of service, and Romney has not been consistent, and he's certainly...
Well, Ms. Wilson, hold that thought. Hold that thought. I want to talk about the demographics of Utah. We're back. I'm back. I'm Leslie Marshall. Thank you for sticking around with us here on the Only True Democracy in Talk. Jenny Wilson is the Democratic candidate for the U.S. Senate in the great state of Utah. Jenny, sorry for interrupting you, and welcome back. Before we talk about issues, two of which that you're very, very... passionate about. I do want to touch upon, because for me as a voter, that you represent the demographics of the constituency that you hope to represent and that Mitt Romney does not. I interrupted you. Please continue and finish up that thought.
Yeah, well, I was just pointing out that, you know, you look at the average family in this state and, you know, they don't have elevators for their cars. They don't have multiple million-dollar homes in vacation sites. And I think that that is an important point. We need, I believe, somebody in the U.S. Senate who's fighting for Utah families, who believes that we need to fix health care, that is going to have an understanding of the challenges of, you know, what we face on the ground here in our communities. I can't tell you how many families I have hugged and talked to who have lost a child or a brother or sister to the opioid crisis. We're one of the top states in the nation who are faced with that horrible, horrible, you know, challenge in the community. And it's killing our kids. It's killing our family members. And I think that when you work in local policy, whether it be Cincinnati or, you know, somewhere in California or Salt Lake City, Utah, you start to get it. And to change Congress, I really believe we need a new generation of leaders who has been on the ground and understands. So I think that's a distinct difference between me and Romney is, you know, I've heard the stories. I've worked on these policy solutions. And, you know, I'm living and breathing and getting up every day in a community.
I want to talk about some issues, and more specifically, I want to talk about debates. Mitt Romney told reporters after his victory for the primary to be the Republican ticket contender in Utah for the Senate. On June 26th, he said, quote, "I look forward to the next stage of this campaign," and he even wished you, his opponent, well. He said, quote, "We'll be, of course, debating from time to time in person and on the airwaves, but we expect that Republicans are going to Washington again from Utah to represent our great state." And the Utah Debate Commission, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization who organizes the debates in your statewide elections, they already scheduled a debate between you and Mitt Romney for October 9th. But there is a crisis. There are many crises in our country, but one of which is a crisis at the border. And that crisis has seen immigrant children forcibly separated from their parents. Now, you are the first woman, I want to point out, to sit on the Salt Lake City Council. You're serving your second term. And is it true that you felt the issue of immigration was so strong and too urgent that the discussion about this could not wait until fall, and you want to debate Mitt Romney prior to October 9th? Am I correct?
Yeah, that's correct. So Romney won his primary at the end of June. I cleared my nomination in April, so we're sort of waiting to see what happened. And Romney indeed won the primary and moved forward. And he had made that comment. And having been involved in many campaigns, including my own, I thought, well, okay, this is the first time we've seen this seat change in 42 years. I would expect there would be 6 to 8 conversations about critical issues, whether they be immigration or whether they be business related or what have you, between Mr. Romney and myself, that various groups would step up and say, hey, I'd like to host one. And indeed, that started to happen. But then we were so rocked by, and continue to be, by the horrendous events along the border the Trump administration's lack of understanding of what they had created, even, and will, and showing no sign of compassion or organization in fixing the problem once many stood up and let the world know what was going on. So with that, I sent a debate challenge to Romney and asked that he debate me during the month of July. And knowing that it was a key issue and it was the primary issue that was being discussed, or one of them, and he didn't get back to me. I should share, I actually have his phone number. So in addition to sending the press release over to the team and the ask, and the press release rather to the media, I texted him. I said, hey, let's meet up. Let's hold a debate. No response. And I think it is, I don't know. I know that he's been in the Boston area. Perhaps he wanted to enjoy some time at his New Hampshire home. Perhaps he just is taking this race for granted and the people of Utah for granted. I don't know, but no debate. And from what I can see, we're going to have one, which is 1 hour, October 9th. And that's absolutely inadequate for a seat that's been held by one person for 42 years as Utahns, you know, get ready to make a new choice.
And I agree with you. I mean, an hour just isn't enough. You know, you did an interview with Teen Vogue, and I have to say I'm very impressed with the teens and Teen Vogue and what it's become compared to what it was originally at its inception. Although there is fashion, there's a lot of political involvement, and I really am encouraged that our young people and our young girls are interested. You said regarding immigration in the interview, quote, "It was one of the most horrific and shocking things I think I faced as a policymaker, as a citizen, even in my adult life." And you said, "I wanted to have some clarity on him, on his various positions on immigration." Speaking of, what are his issues? What is his position on immigration? The reason I ask is, I'm sorry, I know you know him and I don't. And he looks like a nice man, you know? I think he's handsome. That, you know, not bad to look at. That's not where you vote for people based on what they look like. My problem with him, whether it was when he was running for president or when he was running for governor and operated the state that I come from originally, Massachusetts, and what he has said about Donald Trump and what he does seem to blow like the wind, almost like he doesn't have an opinion on unless polls show him, you know, how to believe. In other words, I'm running in a red state, I'll have red state views, and it bothers me. So what are his issues on immigration, and have they been consistent? Because there's been a lack of consistency from where I sit with almost any issue that Mitt Romney has supported or decided he doesn't support any longer.
Well, and you're exactly right. That was the point of, you know, I really felt like the Utahns should hear what I have to say, and they should have some clarity. He made a point on the campaign trail when he was running for the Republican nomination a couple months ago that he considers himself to be more hawkish than Trump on immigration. That's concerning. And it's actually, you know, you look at Utahns where, as was mentioned earlier, there are a lot of Mormons and Mormon families in this state. And we're incredibly family-centric in this community. And the idea that we would you know, tear families apart by bringing in ICE and moving, you know, mom back over the border. That's a really, really difficult thing for most Utahns to comprehend. And we've been, I think, across the board here in Utah, very compassionate and very concerned about our neighbors and friends and families that are in a difficult position. So for him to say that reinforced some of the themes that we had seen when Romney was vying for the Republican nomination. And I still had some hope that he would, you know, take more of a Utah-centric position on immigration. So he needs to clarify. He has since stated that he believes in a merit-based system. I mean, he almost said, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but it was, you know, if you are educated and have money, then you could get in line, like ahead of others. And with really no recognition of the fact that we have thousands of Utah families impacted by people who've come across the border and don't have documentation. It's people are living in the shadows like many other communities. Good, hardworking people I think we are getting smarter as a nation to understand across the board that people coming in are not hardened criminals. We have people seeking difficult situations in Central America and countries, Mexico, for whatever reason, and that we have to get to comprehensive immigration reform. And I think as a major contrast to Romney, I have laid out a plan. I believe that we do need to look at comprehensive immigration reform, family-centered and compassionate.
Are you speaking of his presidential run in 2012, which obviously was unsuccessful? He said he would veto the DREAM Act, according to the New York Times. He is on the same page with you regarding immigration reform. He calls it a moral imperative, an economic necessity. But like you said, he hasn't put forth a plan, and I'm sure the plan would not include on your end, vetoing the DREAM Act. That would be part of his immigration reform package, if in fact he's consistent with those remarks in 2012. I want to talk about something where Democrats aren't consistent. Because you are running as a Democrat, I'm a Democrat. Although we don't have all Democrats listening, most of our audience leans left and is progressive. There are Democrats out there who have called to abolish ICE, and I know you support comprehensive immigration reform. You don't agree with the Democrats who've called to abolish ICE. Am I correct in that? And if so, why?
Yeah, well, I just don't think that abolishing a program that initially had a purpose makes some sense. I do think we have to secure the border. I believe, as somebody, I'm from a Western state, and I believe a lot of the cultural sort of values within Utah on my own are that we are a law-abiding citizenry, and we need to work towards creating systems that make sense for our communities. And I do believe that we can come up with a solution where we move people in this country now. Clearly, we should extend DACA and move DACA recipients to permanent legal status. And if they're willing and interested, move them towards citizenship. We additionally need to get people living in our communities out of the shadows. But I think we can indeed look at comprehensive reform, taking into account, it's been decades and decades and decades since we took a real look at what our immigration needs. We should expand legal immigration and figure out a method where we can secure our border. So I think all that would mean reform. The idea of abolishing, I think, is something that, I would disagree with some within the party who just think that's the easiest way. While I do acknowledge the lack of humanity that is often imposed by our existing policies and by many of the operations underneath our immigration or ICE system.
I want to get to another topic before we take any calls. And our number is 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543, which I know is something that your state and mine, your state of Utah and mine of California, have in common. And that is, we're affected, every state is by climate change, but it gets really hot and, it can be more arid in places like Utah. Certainly here in California, we have wildfires. Mitt Romney says the government should do more to prevent and respond to wildfires caused by climate realities. But you say he's missing the point. How is he missing the point? I agree, even though I don't know what you're going to say yet. I agree with just that sentence that I just read. So so tell us, how is he missing the point here?
Well, we have been very slow as a nation to take the necessary steps to counter a warming climate and our very, very difficult effects from that. I mean, we are seeing it absolutely here in Utah and throughout the West right now and throughout California. And I haven't, it'll be interesting when this fire season finally ends, which may not be until even late November, December. But as we see the fire season end, I feel like it's much, much worse this year alone. And we've seen thousands and thousands of acres burning within our state. The air is horrible right now in the heart of Salt Lake City and throughout this region. I know if you've been to California recently, it's very much the same. And in fact, when I asked my kids where we going, we did a repeat camping trip quickly up over to Wyoming just the past week for a couple of days. And we camped up at Jenny Lake, which is Grand Teton National Park. And the air was horrible up there too. So I think that we have to acknowledge first and foremost at a federal level that we have a problem, and we have to do more with our EPA. I just fear the years right now of the turn back on regulations and what it means to our air quality throughout our nation. The decision to pull out of the Paris Accord is a failure, and I fear for my children what we might have if it's so bad in 2018, 10 years from now, 20 years from now. We have to take action. And yeah, I'm tired of the lack of, I work at a local level and we get things done. I'm tired of the division in Washington. I'm tired of the lack of action. And I really believe that what I've heard and seen from Romney are some eloquently written things that are thrown up on his Facebook page, or maybe it's on his website. And that was indeed the case on this wildfire. But there was nothing really that would say, I'm willing to take action. I'm willing to defend our EPA and defend the things that need to happen. He's been okay in terms of just his general statement supporting climate change and the fact that it is indeed a reality. And frankly, there are many people in Utah who won't go that far. But, I'm looking for a senator going to get something done and be willing to speak out with a strong voice and take action.
And we loved having you on the show today. Thank you very much, Ms. Wilson. The website is wilsonforsenate.com. Follow Jenny on Twitter at Jenny Wilson UT, JennyWilsonUT. And the UT is capitalized for the great state of Utah. As I mentioned, she is serving her second 6-year term on the Salt Lake City Council, and she is the opponent running for the U.S. Senate seat that was vacated, or will be, by the retirement of Senator Orrin Hatch. She is running up against Mitt Romney. Give us some money to give her some help. You can do that from out of state, as you know. If you're listening to us in the great state of Utah, give her your vote. Give her your support.